All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Thursday afternoon just before Friday, Monday morning podcast, and I'm just checking in on you. I'm just checking in on your week. How's it going? How are you? Slugging your way through another one, settling in to 2017. Has it been everything that you expected so far? Are you still going to the gym? Are you sticking with your I'm not going to take the bait, you know, with your whatever the fuck you're dating, whatever you're into, whatever you have let into your fucking apartment, be it a flat, a one bedroom, a fucking studio, I mean, or a fucking maybe you got a little house. You know, that's one of the top reasons people get a house. It's because they fall in love with somebody, and the only way to keep it going is there has to be another room for you to walk into, you know? There has to be a door that you can walk through and close so you just can't see the person, even if you can hear them. You just need that space. That's what it is. Which really shows you what cunts super rich people are, considering they have a fucking mansion, you know? And it's still not enough room for them to get away. They get divorced left and right. You know what it is they go into another room, right? But there's always somebody in there, somebody dusting off a vase or some shit. So you can't just have that alone time to just go in there and just sort of yell, whisper, fucking God, right? You can't do it. I wonder if your spouse ever saw, or your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the fuck it is you're into, ever saw a highlight reel of the shit that you said when you got into your car after a fucking disagreement. It would either be the funniest shit. I think with me and my wife, it'd be fucking hilarious. I think her shit about me would be hilarious. Mine wouldn't be, you know? You know, because I'm angry, because I'm the guy, because we're always wrong, you know? According to those Dr. Phil shows, we don't have a fucking leg to stand on. Anyway, speaking of which, you know what? I got to admit, I actually watched 3 days in a row of Wheel of Fortune, and I missed it last night, and I was actually upset. I think I'm actually going to put that on my DVR to record the show. There's just something so mindlessly fun about that show where you just sit there and you try to yell the letters with them.
T!
There's one T. In Jeopardy, I'm telling you right now, I'm so sick of people thinking that people on Jeopardy are fucking smart. Those people are nerds, okay? They're book smart. No, nobody, I've never seen one person on that show look like they have any sort of a vision. Okay, you give them a fucking book. Yeah, they're going to read it in a day. They're going to retain 80% of the information. And then someday, you know, at a cocktail party or a game show, they're going to puke it up when you fucking go, hey, what's the capital of fucking Tanzania? That's even a country. They'll fucking tell you what it is and what the state bird is. You know what I mean? They know some shit about classical music. They know all this fucking trivial. It's trivial shit, to be honest with you. It's just shit you know, the only purpose for knowing, like 90% of the shit that they have on that show, if you really think about it, it doesn't help you in your life, you know, depending on what you're looking to do. I mean, if you want to make like $1 zillion, like knowing all that shit does not help you. Like, wow, this guy knows, or this woman knows a lot of shit. Yeah, about what? What do you know about? You fucking Baroque music? You know, you good at crossword puzzles? I'm telling you, you got to have a different kind of smart. You got to have Donald Trump intelligence, okay? And what you need to learn how to do is you have to learn how to mobilize morons, you know? And I'm not saying just because you voted for Donald Trump, you're a moron, but you know what I mean. I'm talking about the kinds of people that would be excited if, like, Mayweather fought Conor McGregor. You know, not seeing that for what the fuck it's going to be, which is basically about 12 people vacuuming $100 out of a zillion people's pockets. Why would you want to see that? It's like, that is a lose-lose, right? If they have that fight and it's going to be boxing only, it's over. If it's going to be MMA rules, Mayweather's going to lose. It's going to be over in 2 seconds. It's the stupidest fucking thing. You know what it goes back to? It goes back, like, that fight will if that happens, will be no different than when fucking Bobby Riggs played tennis against Billie Jean King. At least he was a fucking tennis player, you know? I would say it'd be more like when Muhammad Ali fought Lyle Alzado. That's not fair. Somebody compared to when Muhammad Ali fought like the best, you know, Japanese wrestler in like 1976. Now, I'm assuming it was actually real wrestling and not like the fake shit where they still fucking break their necks. But you know what I mean? The predetermined. Was it Bobby Riggs? I think that was the guy's name. The guy who played tennis against Billie Jean King. You know what was so fucking pathetic about that is that was considered a big victory for women. That the best female tennis player in her fucking prime beat like a fucking 57-year-old former champion. This is the thing, though. He was winning games. He actually didn't do that bad. And then years later, there was stuff that came out said he was a degenerate gambler and that he possibly, you know, could have placed a bet on Billie Jean King, made it look good for a minute, and then fucking, I don't know what. So anyways, yeah, buddy of mine was talking about that. You see that? You know, Dana White offering both $25 million. Of course he did. Of course he did. Because he's going to find 50 million fucking idiots to give him $100. Anyways, yeah, what would you want to see a baker get involved in a cooking contest with, okay, we're going to smoke meat today. We got a champion guy fucking, he's won every smoke in the meat comp fucking contest. He's going against the guy who makes cupcakes. They're both in the kitchen. They're both making food. Well, I guess the other guy's outside. You know what I mean? It's just two completely different fucking things. All right. Anyways, and that's what Donald Trump did. Donald Trump was able to fucking do that. He got enough of them together. And that's what you need to do. All right? And I'll tell you right now, I have yet to see a contestant on Jeopardy who could even remotely get the mouth breathers to get the fucking herd moving towards whatever cliff you'd want them to fucking topple over. They don't have it. You know, just sitting there going like... you know, I'll take, I don't know, I'll take ancient Indian construction for $700. This structure was one of the most popular fucking blah, in the 60s. What is a wigwam? Let me get door hinges from Switzerland, circa of Jesus Christ's 32nd birthday for $200. You're not going to fucking get anywhere. Or maybe I'm just insecure when I watch it. All right, maybe we're getting to the real shit here. By the way, I have the Boston-Detroit game on in the fucking background. You know what's hilarious is they just showed a skyline, and I think I saw the casino I played right across the fucking way. You know, we had just into Canada. You know? Jesus Christ, the Bruins playing the Islanders. Holy shit. What a shit show that was. That was one of the worst games I've seen them play in a long, long fucking time. Got smoked 4-0. And now I'm watching the Red Wings, and all of a sudden they come out, they're ready to play. And you got to ask yourself, where is this night in and night out? I also didn't know they're tearing down Joe Louis Arena. They're saying this is the last Bruins regular season game ever against the Red Wings here at Joe Louis Arena. You know what? I got a chance to go to that one. I went to a Red Wings Penguins game in I don't know how many years ago, and I quickly learned that you have to sit back in that stadium. If you fucking lean forward, then everyone behind you has to lean forward. It's like there was all these fucking rules, but because I'm a considerate cunt, I was able to figure it out by halfway through the first period, you know, with people screaming at me from behind. I was like, all right, I get this shit. I get it. But it's just one of these fucked up arenas where you can't even stand up. If you stand up and applaud the play, half your head is blocking the TV screen of whatever, the TV camera. But anyways, I want to say this will be their third. This is the second one they're going to get rid of, and then the next one will be their third. They played it, what, was it Olympia or something like that? Which I have no recollection of, really. I think the first time I really remember watching the fucking Red Wings was the early 80s, and I think in the late 70s they got rid of that one. Oh, see, this right here is some shit on Jeopardy. I'll take arenas, former arenas that sports franchises played in. What is County Stadium? Excellent. What does that get you in life, huh? You know what it gets you? It gets you sitting in your fucking pajamas doing a goddamn podcast Thursday morning. That's where it gets you. So anyways, I haven't been doing shit. No kid yet. So, you know, we're coming right up on going full term. So I think, you know, we're going to have to induce or something like that. But either way, most likely, you know, barring some sort of like a miracle, I should be a dad next week. I think it finally goes down then. All right. And then my whole perspective changes. What are you guys going to do if I really, you know, there's some people that have kids. They don't fucking change at all. And then there's other people that have kids. They change, which I think you should. Right. But what do you guys do if I just if I go off the fucking rails? You know, I stop cursing. I stop saying cunt. You know what I mean? I find God. I reevaluate everything that fucking remotely makes me funny. Nothing. Nothing. For a third time, nothing robs you of all your humor like finding your savior. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, you give a shit about people. You know, you have empathy. You put yourself in other people's position, which is also known as empathy. Now, I've seen it. I've seen it in the past. I've seen musicians. I've seen comedians. I've seen all of that. They find God. They get away from what the fuck got you. Got you to the goddamn dance. All right? It ain't happening with me. I'm calling it right now. What do you think? You think I'm going to start reading? I will read when I become a dad. You know, I'm going to read these kids' books, which evidently I don't even get. I guess that Caterpillar one's a classic book. I never saw that one. When I was a kid, I liked Make Way for Ducklings. I liked Where the Wild Things Are. And that was it. That was the two books I liked. And then other than that, I liked fucking football cards and not doing my homework. That's what I enjoyed. Hey, Dad, what did you enjoy most about your childhood? Blowing off the assignment and the challenge of pretending that I did it. The next day in class, that's what I remember enjoying the most. I like drawing on desks, getting in trouble. Going down to the principal's office with a friend was always fun. By yourself was a lonely experience, you know, sitting on that bench waiting to go in there. William, come on in for a second. Mrs. Roustabout said that you have, and they do all that shit. You just stand there going, Like, why are you talking to me like I can actually plead my case and you're going to be on my fucking side? Oh, I didn't look at it that way. Evidently, the teacher was wrong. Just give me the fucking detention, you fucking cunt. You know what's funny? When I really look back, my vice principal in my school, he's the guy who used to dole out the punishment. He used to dress like the Geek Squad guys who, upon seeing Hidden Figures, dressed like he worked at NASA. You know? I don't fucking know. Anyways, what am I talking about here? Let's plow ahead. Oh, we got some football this weekend. Yeah, da, da, da. You know what? One of the dangerous things to do when you're watching NFL playoffs is not to realize while you're watching it that the NFL season is almost over. You're so fucking excited that it's the playoffs. Who's going to win? I said this, I said that, dude, I called it. I fucking put my kids' college education on the Pittsburgh Steelers with the point. Fucking fuck! 4-2 Detroit. 4-2 Bruins. God damn it. We needed to get that next one coming out in the second period. Oh, you knew it. You know, I swear to God, with fucking hockey nowadays, the second they got rid of the red line, there's no lead that's safe. Back in the day, you went up 3 goals, the fucking game was over. There was going to be like a fucking bench clearing brawl because the other team knew that they weren't going to win, right? So they said, all right, well, if we're not going to beat you, we'll beat the shit out of you. And that was hockey. That was the hockey that I remembered. Now you go up 3-0 and it's, you know, forget it. You can go up 3-0 and you go into the third period, you can still be going into overtime. So it's 3-0 Bruins, then 3-1, then 4-1. Now it's 4-2. Ah, Jesus Christ. Anyways, you know something? I've been meditating so much. I just mean consistently, not by a lot, that actually losing my shit now feels weird. It just felt weird to scream fucking cunt there. I wasn't really mad. I was just upset. Weren't those two things the same thing, Bill? You know what? Yeah, go fuck yourself. So when you're watching the NFL playoffs and you forget because you're so fucking excited that it's the playoffs and you're going to get to see somebody, you know, the best teams play each other. Next thing you know, it's the Super Bowl. And you get your first taste of no fucking football when there's that break between the NFC and AFC games, championship games, and the Super Bowl. You get that first Sunday that comes by, you know? Back in the day, they used to give you the Pro Bowl. Here you go, fuckos, right? Here's 22 people not really trying. And that was your first hint of, oh, wait a minute. They're going to play the fucking Super Bowl, and then I have to sit here for another 6 months with no fucking football. So what I'm saying is try to enjoy it. There's only 3 football games left in the year. You know, I'm actually raining on the fucking parade here, but that's something I always forget. And then all of a sudden the Super Bowl's over. And then you know, you're not even thinking, oh, I can't believe this team beat that team or this team lost, blah, 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 blah. And then next Sunday comes along and you're sitting there on your front porch waiting for your absentee father to show up and he ain't coming. He's not coming to the end of the summer. You're going to grow 6 inches and he's finally going to show up. Hey, what's up, sport? How you been? How the fuck have you been? Anyways, let me read a little bit of advertising here for this week. As it rained again last night, rained pretty much all night long, which is great, man. We're just getting a ton of fucking rain out here. But I don't subscribe to that fucking lunacy that the drought is over. Yeah, in the near future it is. Put it in the fucking net, you cunt. Here come the goddamn Red Wings. You can feel it. I'll tell you right now, the next goal is the most important goal of this game. There's a difference between 5-2 or 4-3. Giving one team hope, putting the game away. All right, let's read a little bit of advertising here. Oh, but MeUndies. MeUndies playing the fucking Red Wings, but MeUndies losing to them would be a sinning. Nah, it doesn't rhyme. Oh, fuck them with their red and white unis. I don't like that they're called Hockey Town. It's a bad nickname. And you shouldn't give one to your fucking self. That's up to your friends. Oh, yeah. Why would you give yourself a nickname? Because you're a douchebag. Why? Hockey town. It's a town that likes hockey. Wee. MeUndies, everybody. This Valentine's Day, give a gift that they can unwrap again and again. Matching underwear from MeUndies. Valentine's Day is near, and it's go time for thoughtful gift hunting. MeUndies has you covered with limited edition matching pairs of undies for you and yours. I mean, I'm giving one to all my family members. We're going to walk around like the fucking the Waltons. Has Valentine's Day got you stumped? No, it doesn't. I don't celebrate it. I go out the next night when food costs what the fuck it should cost and the restaurants aren't jam-packed with people. Forget the cliches and give a gift that looks great, feels great, and will make everyone happy. MeUndies. Fancy dinners and chocolates last a night. Flowers last a week. Shots fired! This year, give the gift of looking great and feeling great every day with the world's most comfortable underwear. Heads up, Valentine's Day is February 14th. If you haven't noticed that every fucking year of your life, don't panic. Get your hat on and show some love with MeUndies matching undies. Please include all of the following points during your read. I read all the you fucking write it. I'll read it. MeUndies are the perfect gift for you and your Valentine this holiday. They're unbelievably soft and come in limited edition prints. Oh, so don't wear them. These things could be worth money someday. You know, somebody at Comic-Con in 20 years is going to want to buy some fucking never-opened-before MeUndies. You know, like those stupid action figures that grown fucking men. You know, they want to get the Millennium Falcon still in the box, and then they're going to buy it and keep it in the box. Like, that's their retirement plan. That's how bad the bankers have fucked over this country. Hey, by the way, considering the Federal Reserve is not a... It's a private corporation. Here's my question. Where does your tax dollars go? Your federal income tax dollars that goes to the Federal Reserve. What do they spend that money on? I get it. I get at a fucking state level that's allegedly going to go to fucking fixing potholes. Let me get back to MeUndies. MeUndies knows that your special someone deserves a special fabric, which is why their underwear is made exclusively out of Modal, a fabric with a touch three times softer than cotton. MeUndies has a special limited edition Valentine's undies, which means you and your Valentine's can match. And yeah, it's as cute as it sounds. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's great. Dress your wife in the same underwear as you and then go to make a move. How fucking weird is that going to be? You know? She's wearing the same boxers you have on. Gives a whole meaning to go fuck yourself, doesn't it? And if for some reason you and MeUndies aren't a perfect match, they'll give you your money back and let you keep the first pair. There's no refund on a bad fancy dinner. They offer free shipping, and for a limited time, listeners to this station get 20% off their first order. But you have to go to MeUndies.com/burr. With MeUndies, better day guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So don't wait any longer. Go to MeUndies.com/burr right now for 20% off your first order. All right. You know what I mean? Where the fuck does that money go? And if you're at the top of the fucking Federal Reserve, why would you pay taxes? What are you going to fucking investigate yourself? Do you know any money made past $11 million? All right? Say you're really fucking successful. You come up with some sort of app. You know, you were smart enough not to go on Shark Tank so they didn't buy it off you for fucking $30. You know, you retain the money. You're like that Facebook guy, right? That little fucking cunt, you know, who stole the idea from all his fucking Harvard people who probably, I don't know, they're making money in oil in Iraq now. You know, all those Harvard people, you know, if they don't end up like being comedy writers, they just kind of go around the world doing horrible things, don't they? Isn't that what all Ivy League people do? You know, they start managing a firm that fucking cuts down the Amazon. Oh, this is just sour grapes from someone who couldn't even go to a community college. What was I saying? Yeah, like, wait, what do they use that money for? If the Federal Reserve is, in fact, a private corporation, you give them the fucking money. where the fuck does it go? So I was going to say, so after any money you make after $11 million, that money you already paid taxes on, that you then should just be able to give to your kids, and they should just sit around getting a drug habit. You know, if you make over $11 million bucks, if you give it to them, you then have to, your kids have to pay 45% tax to the fucking IRS, which means any sort of sizable fortune, okay, the IRS gets 45% of that. Every fucking sizable fortune. A-Rod. Huh? Kevin Durant, $190 million. You know, provided, you know, they don't blow their money. Which is something to be said. So this is what you should do. You should just go out and blow your fucking cash. But don't fucking blow it on stuff. Just go around to regular people and give it to them. There's got to be a way to turn it around. Ah, you can't do that. You can't give mouth breathers that kind of money. Actually, maybe you could. Then they get these psycho. Fuck you. Oh, nice save. Nice save. Fuck! He didn't save it. 4-3. Ah, Jesus Christ. Ah, Jesus. How much are the Red Wing fans enjoying this? Because you know the fucking outcome of this game, aren't you? Huh? Are we really going to blow a 3-0 lead in the first fucking period? Is that what we're going to do? Oh, that's great. Everybody fucking go behind the net. Go for the puck. That looks like me playing pickup hockey. I am a puck-chasing jackass. I have not played hockey in like well over a year. I didn't play once last year. I got hockey stuff just sitting in my goddamn bag. I was supposed to play last week. Yeah, it's just fucking... It ain't. Anyways. Movement watches, everybody. Oh, I was going to say, yeah, if you gave every... If every fucking... Like, say that Facebook cunt, right? Just kind of gives away his money just to regular people. What would be great about that is that the first thing I would immediately do is I would invest in whatever companies make four-wheelers, right? Jacuzzis, jet skis. Like, the average fucking guy who wins the lottery. I mean, that's what they're going to buy. You're going to get a jacuzzi, you're going to get a jet ski, and you're going to get a four-wheeler. All right? And what else are they going to do? They're going to have, I don't know what the fuck, buy a George Foreman grill. I have no idea, but 3 out of 4 of those you'll hit in the stock market. All right? Then you get all these cunts out there, okay? They're not going to have to work, which means they're going to be drunk. And they're going to get on these four-wheelers, they're going to tip over, and they're going to crush... Their ribs will crush their vitals, and the population will start to go down. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's how the Illuminati plans to thin out the herd. MVMT watches, everybody. Movement watches. The company started by two broke college kids. I don't understand how you start a fucking company if you're broke. We're flat broke. Let's start making watches. That wanted to wear stylus watches but couldn't afford them. So they started their own watch company. How is this like how you started? Built a following, launched into podcast. They have the weirdest copy. I guess I'm supposed to like, this is, how is this like how you started? Built a following, launched into podcast, YouTube, radio, etc. Hey, I'm not here to ask fucking answer questions. I'm just here to read your shit. Movement watches started at just 95 bucks at a department store. You're looking at $400 to $500. Movement figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and retail markup, providing the best possible price. Classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism. Over 500,000 watches sold in 160 countries. Get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com/burr. This watch has a really clean design. You'll be getting compliments everywhere you go. Now is the time to step up your watch game. Go to movementwatches.com/burr and join the motherfucking movement. All right, we got two more. I always give you guys a break from listening to me read out loud. Okay, it's not an enjoyable thing. All right, plus if I drag out this podcast a little longer, maybe you can listen to my fucking Bruins lose. Come on, you. All right, here we go. Bring it over the blue line. And what are we going to do? Yeah, the puck's taken away. You know, it's really hard, even if you know the names of the players on your teams. Hockey moves so fucking fast. To sit here and try to announce what is going on and then to try to know all these goddamn names. I mean, I don't even know what countries half of these fucking people come from. All I know is they have like the, you know, whatever their Wheel of Fortune is over there, I don't think anybody's buying any vowels. And I think, you know, over here, we're always like, give me an S, let me see a T. Over there, it's like, give me an H, give me a Z. Like, their fucking name, like, the first three letters would be like C-H-Z. It's like, I'm supposed to read that? Yeah, Bill, you are. You're supposed to have, what, a name like yours, Bill or fucking Larry? Excuse them for having a culture. I don't give a shit that there's foreigners in the National Hockey League that was starting in Canada. You know? The goddamn league was started by foreigners. Okay? And, you know, being a Trump supporter, I never thought the NHL should have been allowed to come into the United States of America. Come on, back in! Fuck! Yeah, I don't think that they should have been allowed to come in here, you know? And I hope when Donald Trump is done making that wall between here and Mexico, he then makes one between here and Canada so these goddamn foreigners can stop coming down here on their skates entertaining mouth breathers like myself, because I've had it, you know? That should be me out there on the ice. They took my job. Framebridge, everyone, are your walls empty? Is your life empty? Do you look at your walls and wish you had something to look at? Do you have a bunch of photos lying around? A lot of questions here. Do you have a bunch of photos lying around or art rolled up in your closet just waiting for you to put it in a nice frame and hang on your walls? Let me tell you something right now. You do not have art rolled up in your closet. What? That's called a poster. I got a Picasso rolled up in my fucking closet. Now is your chance to get... I really had to pause to try to come up with somebody. A Van Gogh. Oh, 2 for 2. Now is your chance to get them framed up at framebridge.com. Go to framebridge.com. Choose your frame. Not Cambridge. Framebridge. Choose your frame or let their designers help you choose. Upload your photo in your computer. Upload your photo from your computer or directly from Instagram. Preview your photo online in the frame you choose. Can't upload your photo or art/poster? No worries. You can mail it in for free. Instead of the hundreds you pay at a framing store, their prices start at $39 and all the shipping is free. Plus, my listeners will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use my code BURR. Framebridge uses premium real wood moldings, acid-free mat board, and faux board. Oh, good. The mat board is acid-free. Thank God. I'll take acid-free mat boards for $600. Their acrylic glazing will never shatter and protects your piece from harmful UV rays. The expert team at Framebridge will custom frame your item in days, not weeks or months, and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. Framebridge offers a happiness guarantee. Their team gives each item personal care and attention because meeting your expectations is as important as meeting their own. Get started today framing your photos or art. Go to framebridge.com and use the promo code BURR. You'll save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to framebridge.com, promo code BURR. I mean, seriously, people, where does the money go? All right, Simply Safe. This is the last one. Simply Safe. Don't you everybody want to be Simply Safe? That sounds like a bad band, doesn't it? One of those bands that cares about issues. Out where the river broke. Simply Safe. Just a heads up. Simply Safe Home Security's massive New Year's sale ends this Sunday. If you haven't seen it, this deal already, I'd check it out. Right now, you can get $200 off Simply Safe's Defender Package. I like that. It's the Defender Package, their most popular security system of 2016. This alarm is everything you need for comprehensive home protection. With Simply Safe, any burglar who attacks your home gets bombarded by an arsenal of security sensors and an ear-splitting siren. And with 24/7 monitoring, help is never far off. Simply Safe calls police the minute you need them. There's no long-term contract, no hidden fees, and no installation costs. Don't wait. These Simply Safe Defender systems have been flying off the shelves. And with the sale ending this Sunday, I can't parentheses, or it's hard to guarantee they'll stay in stock. Go to simplysafexxx.com to get your $200. I'm about to say burr. I don't know. I don't know what their fucking website is. I have no fucking idea. Simply Safe, everybody. Simply Safe, everybody. Figure it out for yourself. I would tell you about the time I bought a safe like 10 fucking years ago. You know, I bought a safe because I had like, you know, moved out and all that shit. Well, shit, moved out. I moved out for 10 years and somebody had me all fucking paranoid, you know, that if I lost my birth certificate, my passport, you know, I'd done my first stand-up special and I had the original, like, whatever, the master copy of it. And basically, if that thing was gone, I was afraid I was fucked. Oh, no, Breakaway. They scored. 4-4. It was 3-0. Then it was 3-1. Then it was 4-1. Then it was 4-2. Then it was 4-3. Then it was 4-4. These fucking cunts have scored 3 goals. We haven't scored anything. How does this even happen? Oh, yeah. Our defenseman falls down. Yeah, that'll do it. I got to tell you, kids, one of the big things you want to avoid when you're playing team hockey is the fucking, we just fell down. It's all right. It's all right. All right. Anyways, so I get this. I just got this little fucking, you know, it wasn't even that bad. The fucking safe was like the size of like a kitchen fridge. I mean, one of those little ones, you know what I mean? One of those ones that you can also use as like a nightstand. So one of the things about getting a safe is you don't want anybody to know that you have it, you know, or it kind of defeats the fucking purpose. So these assholes come to fucking deliver the safe, and I'm living on a second floor walk-up. This is when I'm in New York City, right? I live in a second floor walk-up, which is great. So, you know, oh, we just fucking scored. Woo! Adam McQuaid. 5-4. This game's shaping up. Did anybody see that Penguins fucking Capitals game? 8-7. Here we go. The fuck is going? They're not even playing goal. He had a clean look at that too. Oh, it tipped. And then it bounced between his fucking balls. The old five hole there. Anyways, so I'm living in New York City. I got a second floor fucking walk up. So I have these guys deliver it, right? And like I said, the thing is you want nobody know that you have it. Not only do you want to have a fucking safe, but you don't want anybody to know that you have it. Because immediately you get a safe, people think you have bars of gold worth $500,000 of whack in there. Where they're just going to fucking bust into your apartment and find a fucking, you know, my birth certificate and a fucking, you know, the master to my first stand-up special. So the dude shows up. Now, the thing about a fucking safe is not only, there's two things about a safe. One, you don't want someone to be able to crack the safe, you know, pick the lock or whatever and get in there. And number two, you don't want it to be like, you don't want it, someone to be able to just be able to pick it up and leave with it. So then they can go to their house and take a fucking blowtorch. So it's got to be really fucking heavy. It's got to be hard to break into. And then, you know, depending on the thickness, you know, it can survive a fire for a specified amount of time. So I get this basic fucking safe. You know, I don't know, weighed a couple hundred pounds. I don't know what it weighed. And this fucking guy shows up with this. I'd never seen this thing before. It was in a, like an electronic two-wheeler. Okay? And I lived in this old building, two-floor walk-up. He shows up like Saturday morning. Everybody's asleep. And every step, he'd press a button. And it would lift the safe up. And then he, I don't know, and then the wheels would go up to the next thing. And it was the loudest fucking noise ever. Every step would go like, "Wah!" He did two flights of stairs. And everybody's opening their apartments, looking out, seeing a safe, and then looking at me and seeing me standing there with my fucking door open like, "Nothing to see here, everybody. Just buying a safe for my bars of gold." I fucking was so convinced that my apartment was going to get broken into. And then what was funny, when I went to move out, I just had friends help me move out, and we didn't have that thing, so then I just had to leave the safe. I just left the safe and gave the person the combination. And that's what happens to all safes. Like, wherever they get delivered to is where they fucking stay. They're never moved. They're never moved because they're too fucking heavy. And you just got to say, fuck it. You leave them. Nah, leave it. Yeah. Anyways, is that the podcast for this week? I have no idea. My wife's going to kill me. I'm screaming about every goal, and I'm fucking imitating somebody bringing a safe up two flights of stairs. Excuse me. I just belched. That's that. You know something? That's not a... that's not a formula for a happy marriage. Anyways, that is a Thursday afternoon, just before Friday, Monday morning podcast. And I know what you want to hear. You want to hear my predictions, don't you? My prediction for Patriots Steelers. I don't have a good feeling about it. You know, I thought we looked like shit against the Texans. So I'm doing what every Patriot fan is doing. I'm hoping that was our one bad playoff game. Like, you can do that in the playoffs. So you can do it if there's no J.J. Watt and you got a rookie quarterback, you know. I guess you can get away with a bad fucking game. But I was not impressed with our offensive line last week. And the Pittsburgh Steelers always have a fucking great defense. So, you know, Big Ben. The Steelers are due to beat us, man. They haven't beat us in a big game in a long time. But I'm going to go with my heart. And I'm going to say the Patriots are going to eke out. They're going to eke out a victory at home. At Gillette Stadium. You know, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping we go up early. That's what I'm hoping. I don't want to see us try to play catch up against those guys. All right. And then what else we got? We got the Falcons and we got the Green Bay Packers. And am I going to disrespect the Falcons 2 weeks in a row? You know, so I don't even know where this game is. I'm going to pick... you know something? If the Falcons win, this would be Matt Ryan's, like, fucking finally getting the respect he deserves. Then he got Aaron fucking Rodgers. Is it in Green Bay? If it's in Green Bay, I got to go with the Packers. I don't know. They beat Seattle, but what the fuck? Seattle was hurt. You know, they had that fucking backup, whoever the fuck it was, came in there, stepped on that quarterback's foot, gave him 2 points. Let's see what we got here. This is how every gambler, most gamblers, makes their decisions before they put their kids' college tuition down. This is right here is literally the level of research that they'll do. Where is that game? Is that in Green Bay? It's in Georgia. Oh. This gets more interesting. Wait a minute. Point spread. It's got a good spread. What do you got here? What do you got here? Green Bay Packers versus betting the odds. Just give me the fucking odds. Falcons, Packers. Why won't they do that? How come if you say, what does this mean in German, it just comes right up? But if you ask for the fucking odds, I got to click on somebody's site. That's so they get credit for eyeballs in their site, right? You know, this is why I hate the fucking internet sometimes. You know, right there. Green Bay Packers at Dallas. That was -5.5. Shut up. I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, let me hit pause. I'm not going to torture you guys with this. Hold on a second. All right. It says the Falcons opened as 5.5-point favorites. The total was 59.5, 59.5 earlier in the week. That's the over-under, according to the sports book. All right, I don't know shit about either one of these teams. Oh, I tell you, you got to take the Packers with the points. If you're betting, you know what I mean? You're going to get Aaron Rodgers fucking 6 points? Almost 6 points. Fuck. I don't know shit. I'm going to say, do I do it? Do I take a chance on the new guy? There's a new quarterback in town, and he's feeling good. That was the theme to Alice, if you guys ever watched that fucking show. Fuck. I got to go with Green Bay. Green Bay goes in, breaks their fucking hearts. You know, that's what I say. They're going to go in there, and somehow they're going to get it done. That's what I fucking... You know what? I'm going to go with the tried and true. I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. There you go. You heard it here first from a stand-up comedian who hasn't watched a lot of football the last couple of years. All right? So take your hard-earned cash, you know, put it on Aaron Rodgers, get yourself 5.5 points, and if that doesn't work out, you know, that's what you get for listening to a stand-up comedian. Go fuck yourselves. Have a great weekend, you cunts, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Everybody, what's going on? It's Bill Burr. It is the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday. I believe it's January 19th, Martin Luther King Day. Happy Martin Luther King Day, everybody. Obama's getting in this week. I don't know if you noticed, it's been a lot of parties. I got to be honest with you, I couldn't watch any of it. And I heard some reports of what was going to be going on, and I just got like those embarrassing. I just heard that they were taking white artists and black artists and putting them together. And, you know, that old tired thing, like, this is going to make everything all better. You know, now if they were having a white artist and a black artist get together and then beat the shit out of a banker, then I would be like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. But if you're just going to put James Taylor with fucking T.I., you know, and then they're going to do a folk that then turns into a rap of going to Carolina in my mind, whatever the fuck it is. You know, it's funny, I just sang the melody with the wrong words. No, in my mind, I'm going to Carolina. I still fucking rollerblade. Evidently, James Taylor's really into rollerblading. I bet you didn't know that. Well, listen, if you're new to my page, let me just get right off on the right foot here. This is going to be a rough one. Let me get off on the right foot. You know what? It's early, and I have to work out. I was like, I got to get this fucking thing out of the way. That's how I'm approaching this podcast this week. I have to get this thing out of the fucking way. And I don't know about you guys, but whenever I approach something like, I have to get this out of the way, something suffers, and it's usually the quality, okay? So I want all of you guys, wherever you're at, to just lower your fucking expectations, okay? Because I am on let's get this out of the way mode this week, all right? I'm fucking going hardcore with my workout. Just had 98 proteins doing this new fucking diet, man. It's just fucking ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but it's working. It's working. But I know in the back of my head, eventually you're going to get to where you want, Bill, and then you're going to go off the diet, and then you're going to fucking get, you know, get a big Charlie Brown head again. That's what's going to happen. But anyways, if you're new to my page, I'm doing one of those diets where you, like, weigh your food. 3 ounces of chicken, 3 ounces of Parmesan cheese, and 8 egg whites, which is a whole fucking carton. I swear to God, by the end of it, you just want to puke. But somehow you lose weight. It's all like, it's like chemistry. Is that what it's like, Bill? Is it really like chemistry? Have you ever taken a chemistry class? Why, no. No, I haven't. Then how would you know it's like chemistry? You don't. All right, that's what I'm doing, heckling myself this week. You know something? I'm already kind of, no, Bill, stick with what the fuck you wanted to, let's have some sort of beginning, middle, and end to this thing, all right? Okay, let's start with the basics. If you're new to my page, I do one of these every single week. I do it every single Monday. People send me in questions, and I answer them to the best of my ability. People send in their list of stuff that they feel is underrated, overrated. And lately, much to my pleasure, is that the word? I don't know. Too full of protein. I need some carbs to be able to pull out the right fucking word here. I'm really enjoying the fact that a lot of people are weighing in on a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about, like, and also introducing new subjects because, you know, I don't want to be doing the same shit. You know, I'll be doing this podcast 20 years from now and just being like, overrated battery-powered rollerblades. Isn't anybody thinking about the environment? Underrated. Fucking Gabe Kaplan's comeback. All right. That was overrated, underrated in the year 2029 when Gabe Kaplan will be 96. I saw him on the World Series of Poker, and wow. You know, there's that fucking aging thing where some people try to prevent it, and that's when you get in trouble. You got to go with it. You got to use a keto. You know, you just go with it. You know? You know, fucking... Oh, by the way, I also saw Blazing Saddles recently, and two things I want to say is Gabby Johnson is the best fucking laugh I got in about 3 months. Absolutely dying laughing. And if anybody can explain to me why the actor who played Gabby Johnson made the choice to start swinging his arms, it's fucking genius. And Gene Wilder has the most horrific powdered wig comb over I have ever seen in my life. What was that bowling movie that Bill Murray was in and they had those really bad comb overs? He puts them to shame. What the fuck was the name of that movie? Candlepins? Big Ten? The fuck was that movie called? Gutterball? Had something to do with bowling. I know there's people right now screaming at their dashboards in the car like they know the right answer, like you're going to get a star or something. The fuck was the name of that movie? All right, anyways. Yeah, so I do one of these every single week. This is such a fucking mess. And I also hype shit that I have coming up. Like, these are my three big dates that I have coming up. This week, I am at the Improv in Houston. And surprisingly, I've been getting a lot of emails because I didn't draw shit last time I was there, motherfucker. And you can go to improv2.com for tickets, or you can just click on the link right on my homepage, which I imagine probably still says that I'm going to be at Tampa this week, which isn't true. I just haven't changed it. Really need to get a fucking assistant. That's on my list of shit to do. And February 6th, I'm going to be at the Wilbur Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. And then on the 7th, I'm going to be out in Chicopee, Massachusetts. And then a couple weekends after that, I am going to be making my debut appearance in Ogden, Utah. So all you Mormons, you know, fucking come on down to the goddamn show. Why don't you and your 18 wives come down to the show and sit there and judge me? You know, I'll tell you, you know something, I don't know anything about Mormons other than Steve Young is a Mormon. That's the only thing I know about him. You guys have a lot of wives. And for some reason, when I think about you, I think about the Amish, which I know isn't true. I know it's not fair. I actually did college out there a long time ago. And it was really weird, like all the kids out there, how like repressed they were. This is how I'm trying to sell tickets in Utah, by basically attacking the main religion out there. That's real smart, Bill. No, it was just really weird. I felt like I was in the Footloose. You know, people weren't allowed to dance. They weren't allowed to fuck. Anyways, let's get on with this podcast. It's starting to lose momentum. I can feel it. I'm like fucking Steve Austin in the beginning of $6 Million Man, you know? She's breaking up. I can't hold it. Steve Austin, astronaut. A man barely alive. We can put on a new foot. All right. Here's something that somebody said to me recently. And this whole thing is judged because basically I drive a Prius, which... You know, driving a Prius, yeah, people really fucking judge you. Like, I pulled up in front of this was trying to get an extra key made for my apartment, and I go to get out of my car, and as I pull up, there's these two douchebags with Greenpeace sweatshirts on, and they immediately eyeball me, you know, and I'm like, oh, God, right? And I get out of the car, and the girl goes, I swear to God, she's like, hey there, Prius driver. So I go, hey there, chick with a Greenpeace sweatshirt, you know, really with a cunty tone in my voice, as if to say, I don't care about whales. You know, maybe I'm just a tight fuck who doesn't want to pay for gas. You ever think about that? But that doesn't stop her. She just keeps coming at me. Hey, do you have time? Do you have time? So I go, nope, no, I don't. She's like, it only takes a second. And I walked around the corner. And I walked into this key place to get my, you know, my key done. And, you know, guy does the key in 2 seconds. I come walking back out. I mean, literally within the same 2 minutes of this woman talking to me. And I clearly didn't want to talk to her. And she sees me again, and she's still coming at me. She says some shit like, come on, you know, you're a Prius driver. Just sign up. It's easy peasy. That's what she said. It's easy fucking peasy, which made me want to go buy a bus and take the muffler off of it. You know, it's easy peasy. She goes, no, come on, you drive a Prius. I'm like, how do you even know this is mine? You don't even know it's mine, you know? You fucking twat. Get away from me. I don't know why either. I like animals. You know, I really like animals, and I enjoy doing things for the environment. But I don't like fucking people thinking they know shit about me, even though she did. In a way, she did. But just because I drive a Prius doesn't mean I'm going to talk to you in your stupid sweatshirt and you know, sign up on your clipboard. I don't want to fucking do that, you know? Because if I do, at some point, I got to listen to you use words like easy peasy. It's weird. I'm like this fucking type A psycho environmentalist, and I just don't get along with those Bergenstock. They just, I'm just getting annoyed now just fucking talking. Hey, Prius driver. Shut up. The thing I really want to say, I'm just not going to say it because it's just going to be too mean. All right, let's get on with this. So anyway, so I drive a Prius. So this guy sends me something about global warming out of nowhere. He says, Bill, it's about 10 degrees in New York City now, and since you drive a Toyota Prius, I'm going to assume that you at least believe somewhat in global warming. And honestly, with you being a great cynical comic, that shocks me. Okay. I like how he just did that, how he was patting me on the back as he backhanded me in the face. And honestly, with you being a great comic, wow, there goes my self-esteem. That shocks me. Thwack. I hate when people fucking do that, when they give you a nice compliment, so, you know, thinking like you're going to come around to their opinion, like I'm some little fucking dog, and I just rolled over, and now you're going to give me a fucking snack. All right, and honestly, you being a great comic, that shocks me. You have common sense enough. Jesus, he's just throwing out the compliments here. It's almost like he wants to change my opinion. You have common sense enough to realize things like self-checkout lines being the beginning phases of teaching us how to do the job for free. Yet, exclamation point, you don't smell any bullshit whatsoever on listening to a guy like Al Gore basically predicting some shit that he claims is going to happen 50 years from now. Now, you know what? I love how in the beginning of this, he realized that he doesn't know my opinions on global warming, and he says, I'm going to assume that you at least somewhat believe. And now, 2 sentences later, I totally fucking believe in it. So he can trash Al Gore. Anyways, he says, my logic just tells me that if anyone's going to tell me that they know what the world is going to be like in 2060, they're full of shit. Nobody knows that shit. Same as nobody knows what's going to happen to you when you die. Blah, 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 on and on and on. And he trashes basically, am I really going to read out loud this long? Okay, let me just try to blow through this. I'm 27 now. I vividly recall plenty of people 20 years ago guaranteeing flying cars by the year 2000. Really? I don't remember that. 20 years ago, you're 7 years old, they were probably just fucking with you. Weren't they still telling you that a fat fuck came down the chimney and gave you toys? I vividly remember that. when I was in the sandbox, somebody saying that there was going to be flying cars. Did you go to a private school where all your little friends running around in sport coats? And the closest thing we have to a car, that car, instead of the closest thing we have to that car is, instead of running on gasoline, it runs on less gasoline and a battery, and is 85% plastic. All right, first, before we get into all of this shit, one of my pet peeves about people who argue against global warming is when it's 10 degrees out in January. You know, January, a winter month, when it's supposed to be fucking 10 degrees out. You know, all of a sudden it's actually winter weather, and then they're just like, well, I guess that proves that. I mean, it's fucking 10 degrees in January. There you go. If it was fucking 10 degrees in October, you know, for a bunch of days in a row, for a bunch of years in a row, and polar ice caps weren't fucking melting. If the top of the world wasn't melting and grizzly bears weren't mating with polar bears, you know, then I would maybe believe your little point about one day in January being fucking 10 degrees, or maybe a cold spell. It's called the winter, dude. All right, you want to talk about vividly remembering? I remember vividly riding on my bicycle back when kids delivered papers, before they scared the shit out of us that everyone was a fucking pedophile, and before they printed billions of dollars more with no gold behind it, so now adults have to do that job. There were fucking kids like me riding around on their bicycle, and it was so cold out your fucking nostrils stuck together. And they used to give you those ski masks, and your breath would condensate, or whatever the fucking word was, and then you had frost up against your nose. I vividly remember my brother coming home. His hands were so cold, he turned on hot water in the sink and stuck them in there, and they immediately all cracked and became bloody, and I laughed my ass off at him. I vividly remember that. It's called the fucking winter. All right, so don't send me a fucking email about a couple of days in January where it's 10 degrees out and you think that that fucking disproves. You know, I don't even know how to get into this fucking shit. The reason why we don't have fucking flying cars right now, I mean, think about that. 6 billion people all having cars that fly around. How the fuck are you going to have roads? You know what I mean? And the reason why you have Priuses that run half on gasoline and a little bit on electricity is because that's all bullshit. It's a fucking scam. All right? It's a better scam than the car that they have out now, but it's a fucking scam because you're dealing with that robber baron blue blood money that has been running shit for 150 fucking years, and they're not just going to go, oh, are they the fucking top of the world's melting? Well, let's do something about that. They're going to incrementally slide their way into something. They're going to do the least amount that's required. A hybrid is a complete fucking scam, other than the emissions. You know, the emissions are a lot better. That's the big thing. But as far as the gas mileage and all that shit, it's bullshit. You basically get 45 miles a gallon if you're gliding down the street. But that's true with all cars. But, dude, the mere fact that corporations are actually giving in now, and at the very least, I love what they do, is they basically paint their packages green, and then psychologically, like there's a gas station, I think it's BP, all of a sudden they went to like green and yellow now, and it's subtly, I'm supposed to be thinking about ethanol or some shit, like, wow, grass is green, corn is yellow, gas is good. It's stupid. The whole thing is like, what you're dealing with, dude, is a ton of politics in there. So to sit there and look at it and, you know, blast a guy like Al Gore. Yeah, Al Gore, you know, the guy, you know, in defense of him, has always been into the environment. One of his things when he was in office was he tried to get the supercar, a car that got 100 miles a gallon, and they just dragged their feet. The big three dragged their feet as they, you know, were putting it together. And there's a finite amount of time someone's in office. He was in office for 8 years. They just dragged their feet for 8 years, then he was out, and then they shelved it. That's all. That's all that bullshit. But Al Gore, yeah, he's using it to try to get himself back in the ring. You know, he's like a comedian, you know. His show got canceled, and now he's doing infomercials. He's got to get his face out there so he can still make speeches and make some money so he can pay the fucking bankers. But, dude, you know, you really should do a little more research into global warming other than it's 10 degrees out in January. That's all I'm going to say. And to sit there, and obviously I'm by no means a fucking scientist, but, you know, I do know that you can't have 6 billion of any species on this planet, especially human beings, who, unlike animals, we're the only ones, as my brother says, we're the only species on the planet that alters the environment rather than adapting to it. You know what I mean? You could have 6 billion deer, and that would fuck up a lot of shit, but not to the level that we're fucking it up, because they don't make, you know, nuclear weapons and deal with the waste and plastic and all that shit. So, I don't know, dude. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, dude. I'm not here to try to convince you that global warming, that 6 billion people on the planet are going to have an effect on it. You know, we're like the gypsy moth caterpillar right now, just eating everything in our fucking path. And none of the shit that they're doing, hybrids, any of that shit is going to fucking help anything until they literally get on TV and they start telling people to stop having children. Well, that's uplifting, Bill. I mean, I don't understand what people are fucking doing. Have you seen that IBM commercial where all of a sudden, you know, they're acting like, you know, they're talking about how in, this is Joe DeRosa. Just called me and I missed the fucking call. This IBM commercial, they're sitting there talking about how, like, in Sweden or something, that they installed automated toll booths and that decreased gridlock by 20%. And then in the end, this girl's like, I'm an IBMer, and that's what I'm working on. It's like, really? Well, why don't you work on a digital poster that tells people to stop fucking busting nuts in their girlfriends? I think that that would help gridlock by 100%. Actually, not 100%, but you know what I mean. I can't wait. I hope I live long enough to see that. I really want to see that argument where they somehow finesse in, you have to stop having kids because there's no farmland, there's nothing left. You know what I'm saying? And then just all the Jesus freaks going, well, the Bible says go forth and multiply. The Lord said it. He said it. Really? It wasn't a bunch of people just writing it? No, he said it. He said it, and then he had a kid, and the kid was in some woman who's never impregnated. And he walked on water and he cured a leper. And he doesn't like Jews even though he was one. Oh, my God. It's all bullshit. You know something? I really am a cynical bastard. I still believe in a higher power, though. But I got to admit, I'm lost. Because I don't know what, because I can't go to any of these, you know, from the Catholic Church to Scientology, I just can't, you know, I can't fucking, I don't know. You ever look at a picture of yourself from 5 years ago and you just think, you know, I was so much better a person then. How do I get back to being that person? That's where I am in my life right now, you know? I'm trying to do some better things. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about this week. All right, let's move on here before I do my... I tell you guys I'm doing that P90X system. It's for fucking 40-year-old douchebags like me. It's actually great. It's a great system. And I'm just killing time right now as I try to get to the next point. Okay, here we go. How to link to my podcast. This is something else I should have done up front. You log into Google with an account. Yes, I am reading this. Go to google.com/reader/view. Click on add a subscription on the left-hand side of the page. Oh, my God. And then paste this in the box. I can't read that. That's like too much... All right, evidently I can't tell you how to link to my podcast. All right, let's move on to the next fucking issue. I'm really loving how this is becoming like the Morons Meet the Press, my podcast. We're discussing issues. Like that last guy who I just screamed at, he basically has no more information on global warming than I do. He just has his gut opinion that says it's bullshit. And I watched the Discovery Channel, and I saw a brown and white bear, this grizzly polar bear that they called a pizzly bear. Because they're now meeting and fucking. And how do I know it exists? Because some redneck shot it. That's what happens. I didn't know what the fuck it was, so I shot it in the face. And now I'm standing next to it. And then I went and I found a scientist. Do you know what the fuck this is? Whatever it is, I killed it. All right, the checkout line argument is still continuing. All right, some people, I don't know, if you're new to my podcast, I'm going to try to blow through my explanation. And a lot of people have been arguing with me that the automated checkout, where they make the customer work as a cashier for free, they're somehow telling me that this is progress, and they are equating it with great inventions of the past. I kind of got into it with some guy on the internet where he was – I can't find the email because I'm disorganized. He brought up some sort of machine like 100 or so – 150 years ago that came out in the textile mills that would obviously do the work of like 10, 20 people. So this one guy started a revolt going, this is all going to put us out of work. And him and his friends came in and they attacked the machines and all that type of shit. And he tried to equate that with the cashier thing. And I'm not saying that I am against inventions straight across the board just because they put people out of work. Like, to me, that's not the same example, because it's not like they came out with a new cashier machine that does the work of 10 cashiers while I just fucking stand there. They just came up with a new cashier machine that now I have to operate, and then I have to bag my own groceries. That's not progress. That's making me do the fucking job. And actually, to his credit, he goes, you know what, fair enough. You are right on that. Because I'm not against them coming up with a machine that does the work of 10 textile mill workers. I'm really not against that. And because at no point does it then require me to go down to the factory and sew my own fucking shirt. That is my point. But despite that, people still have opinions that they like them. Here we go. Here's one. Where the fuck is it? God damn it, I can't find it. It was a great one. Hold on. Just keep yourselves busy. All right, actually, this fell into underrated. That's why I couldn't find it. Somebody wrote, you know what's underrated? Those self-service tills at the grocery store. I'm going to assume you don't understand what it is, what it's like to not want to talk to someone about the effectiveness of the maxi pad you're buying or if some hair conditioner really works, etc. There is always a fucking conversation, and it's always fucking annoying. I feel bad that maybe someone might be out of a job because I don't like making a name conversation with other human beings, but some days being able to get in and out without speaking to anyone is all I really want. You know, I have mixed emotions on that one because I understand not wanting to get into an annoying conversation like that fucking douchebag with their Greenpeace sweatshirt, you know? Hey, Prius driver, I understand that, but I would rather have personally, I'd rather have an annoying conversation than know that I helped to put another foot on the yacht of some corporate fucking douchebag because I just put another person out of work who's probably already eaten macaroni and cheese 9 times a fucking week anyways. All right, what else? Some other people, like, some people agree, some people don't. I think we've beaten this thing to death, you know? I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't fucking know. Just keep having kids. Keep going with the computers, you know, line up for the microchip in your head. It's all going to be good. It's all great. It's all fucking great. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Global warming doesn't exist. It's all awesome. Go see that new movie that fucking crooked-nosed guy is in with Jennifer Aniston about the dogs. You know, take your fucking kids there who are going to add to the mess, you know. Buy them an SUV when they turn 16. Jesus Christ, I am on my soapbox this fucking week. I really need to shut the fuck up. Let's move on to the questions. All right. Whenever I get this way, by the way, people, I'm really not this passionate about the subjects. It means I have other shit going on in my life that's causing me stress, and I have an inability to focus on the thing that's causing me stress. So I rant about other stuff and annoy the shit out of people. All right, question number one. Hey, I think you'll like this one. That's how somebody just started it out. And for some reason, I didn't erase that part. There's a four-way... Oh, this is more of a story and then, I guess, a question. All right, there's a four-way intersection that I drive through on my way to work. A lot of people keep getting into car accidents there. Well, for about a month, I could tell they were installing traffic lights. because they had tons of poles and wires and construction workers were there all the time. Well, when they finished installing the new traffic lights with the green arrows, allowing people to turn and not get into accidents, they also installed cameras looking in every direction. Am I crazy to be really bugged by that? I live in a small area, about 30,000 people, and they definitely could have told local residents with a letter that they'd be putting in cameras or something. If they can't afford a cop to watch the intersection, then they shouldn't have cameras there, right? People will slow down for a cop, but nobody cares about a camera. It's not like that will stop bad driving. It doesn't even end there. They put even more cameras towards the downtown area, so when I drive into work, I could be photographed or taped twice in a span of 7 miles. Would this bug you too? Would you do anything about it? Two awesome questions. Yes, that would bug me. Would I do anything about it? I'd probably do what I do on this podcast. I'd sit in the bed and bitch about it and not join a group that would effectively try to make a change because they judge me because I drive a Prius. Yeah, it does bug me. It does bug me. I think it's bullshit. It bugs me on two levels. It's a way for them to just, I guess, nail every single person who sort of ran a red light and just give everybody a ticket so they can have even more money, you know, to just fucking give away to some douchebag that they're going to pay $8 for a hammer for. You know what I mean? I really can't explain anything today. What is wrong with me? You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's like some boss hog shit. That's like putting down the fake fire hydrant. Yeah, I really find it disturbing that in the future I'm going to have absolutely no privacy. I mean, it's not like they're going to watch every second of footage, but just to know that at no point am I, you know, can I just, like, be my alone? That's what freaks me out about the future. You know, that shit I was talking about last week where I was, on, you know, watching 60 Minutes, and they're in the beginning stages of having computers have the ability to read someone's mind. I mean, think about that shit. They're already putting microchips in people at the upper corporate level. They'll have computers to be able to read your mind, and they'll be able to film you everywhere you go. You know, it's like, that's, to me, is, that's like all those science fiction fucking movies. I don't know. Would I do anything about it? I you know, the movie version of me would. And I would turn into Aaron Brockovich or whatever fucking name is. But, yeah, you know what would make me feel good? I'm one of those people, I don't start shit. I don't do anything. I don't join. Do I join shit, too? I don't know. If there was a movement, I would definitely join it. I just hate how protesting has been, it's turned into like a cliche thing. Like if I actually went to a protest and I had a sign and I was chanting something that rhymed with four. You know, it always has to rhyme with four. One, two, three, four. We are begging more. Da 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 war. Ba da 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 whore. Right? It always has to rhyme with four. Why is that? You know why that is? It's because musically, all our music is in 4/4 time. That's like common time, and we just kind of go with that rhythm. Like in the Far East, like they play in like I don't know, like that. Vinny Colaiuta time, like fucking 17:08 or whatever the fuck it is. And they can all sit there and bounce, and they have the patience to wait for the person to count up to 17. And with their crazy language, they have words that rhyme with 17. 17. We don't want your fucking hummus teen or whatever the fucking. I don't know what the fuck it is. I don't know. Question number two. Here we go. Hey, Bill. Was there ever a crossover period in your career where you were still working a day job but getting successful as a comedian? Did anyone ever recognize you at your day job, sparking a Mickey Rourke temper tantrum at which Deli displays if any did you body slam? Dude, what the fuck happened to the rest of that sentence? Did anyone ever recognize you at work sparking a Mickey Rourke temper tantrum? And then this is the rest of his sentence. At which Deli displays, if any, did you body slam? Oh, okay. Oh, I know. There was no comma in there. It should have been at which Deli displays, comma, if any, I don't know. I don't know what. There should be a comma in there because I can't figure out what the fuck that means. Did I ever body slam someone at a deli? Did anyone ever recognize me at my day job? No. I want to say maybe once, and I was thrilled because I never got recognized. And I felt like somebody, you know, which I think is very poignant on Martin Luther King Day. I am somebody. I did 5 minutes at the Comedy Vault. I used to go up at Dick Doherty's Comedy Vault at Remington's. And that's actually one of the things I like to do when I go back to Boston. I'm not working. I go back to that club because it still fucking exists. So I put my first 5 minutes together on Boylston Street. No one ever recognized me. You have to be on TV for a long time to start getting recognized. You know, it's weird. Like, you'd think if you did stand up on like a Conan O'Brien, the next day you walk down the street, if millions of people were watching, a bunch of people would recognize you. They don't. They don't. So you got to be super famous, and then, or at least famous, and then you have to fall off, and then have to get a day job, and then they recognize you. It's weird. People recognize you on the backside of fame, you know? And speaking of which, you know, being 40 years of age, I did what you're the responsible person's supposed to do. You know, I fucking went and I actually got my goddamn prostate checked. And I got to tell you, dude, you want to talk about that's the other side of fame that people don't bring up. I was really happy that I have a low level. Because when people look at fame and they just think, like, you know, courtside seats to fucking the Lakers, you're fucking a supermodel. They don't think that you still have to get your prostate checked. And you don't have the ability to walk into the office as an anonymous person. You know, thank God this guy wasn't a comedy fan. So my prostate is fine, by the way, you know. Psychologically, I don't know how I am after that. It was just fucking, it's horrific. And I got to tell you something. When they tell you there's nothing wrong with your prostate, you really have mixed emotions at that point because you're psyched that you're not going to die of ass cancer. But on the other side, there's immediately a jolt of anger where you're like, so that means you really didn't fucking have to do that then, did you? I don't know. I just came to peace with it, the fact that his job is just fucking horrific. That for me, it's just a fucking horrible 8 seconds, and then I can just, you know, turn on the radio at full volume and drive away and try to kill the thoughts of horror, whereas he has to just do that all day long. You know something? I think the fact that I just talked about this on my podcast, I'm now emotionally fucking dealing with the fact that another man put his finger on my ass. I mean, it's just fucking, you know, and it's done very professionally. It's not like he's whispering in your ear, like, oh, you like that? It's not that. Oh, my God. I got to go to therapy. I feel fucking horrible. I let another man do that, and there was nothing wrong with me. You know? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I think this is the end of the podcast. I really don't know how to process that. I really don't know how to process that. And you know what's funny is, you know, in 5 years, they're going to have a way to do it where they don't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I just did the ass version of electroshock fucking treatment. That's what they should do. They should put like a fucking arrow in your mouth. You know, I don't think I'm going to be able to stop talking about this. It's just fucking horrific. It's fucking horrific. Okay, let's grit the teeth and let's move on to question number 3. Whew. Wow. All right. Yeah, what the fuck? All right. What if that's all a scam? Forget about global warming. Oh, my God. Question number three. Come on, Bill. You can do it. You can do it. Hey, Bill, do you ever think of how ironic it is that Hitler didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes? No. No, I didn't. I've heard that argument. I find it more weird that he was just a complete fucking spaz and people followed him. I mean, he had the classic spaz haircut. You know, that short stuff on the side and it's all long on top. I mean, if there's any kids listening to this shit, it's like, if you really want to just up the chances of you getting fucking slapped in the back of the head, buzz the back of the sides of your head and then leave it long on top. I mean, it's classic. Your naked head is just sitting there, which is just going to make a football player want to slap you with those three fingers right in the back of your head so he can watch your cowlick flap around on your forehead. Yeah, you know, I've heard that before. I've heard people talk about how Hitler didn't even fit into his view of the perfect race. I think he was like a self-hate. He was like a chick who was born a brunette and always wanted to be a blonde. You know, he just sort of bought into it. He was like a self-hating brunette that somehow convinced people to kill like 10 million people. You know, and I'd like to say that we've moved beyond that in our society. And, you know, judging by people's reactions to fucking microchips and being filmed every 5 seconds and being like, well, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, I really think that there's another Hitler in our future. All right, Bill, number five. Hey, Bill, what's the worst/most embarrassing thing you've ever done to get laid? For me, it was watching ballet. All right, let's see here. The worst thing I ever did, I'll tell you the most lost I ever got in a relationship was I dated a girl who sang in a band, and I was about 20, 21 years old, and she was like 30, 31. And she sang in this band that was called, I don't know what it was called. What the fuck was the name of the band? God, I'm so old now. What's a male name? It was something in the girls. It was a guy's name, like Mike and the Girls. And it was basically they did like cover songs, and there was three hotties, you know, like the Andrews Sisters, and they would sing fucking, you know, awful Bryan Adams songs and CNC Music Factory shit. This is how long ago it was. And then the dude would be playing the keyboard, and I sat in the audience with a Michael and the Girls sweatshirt that was written in three different levels of pastel. You understand? Like, it was like the Miami Vice, aqua blue, the hot pink, and some other awful pastel color. You know what it looked like? It looked like Demi Moore's eyeshadow in that famous 80s picture of her where she has her hair all crimped, whatever the fuck that was. You know when girls used to do that and their hair used to look like a staircase descending down to their pussy? Yeah, and I sat in the audience and I remember sitting outside myself going, how the fuck do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? This is not, I was just psyched to be getting laid. You know, I was definitely a late bloomer, and I was banging this hot broad who was like 10 years older than me that sang in a band. And, you know, that was all my dick just going like, yeah, keep blowing me. I'll wear the sweatshirt. And then I was actually in public by myself sitting in the crowd. And that's one of those things where it was almost like, you know, when you're in first grade and your mother gives you the shirt your grandmother bought you. And you're kind of thinking in your back of the head, you're kind of having thoughts like, is this shirt, like, fucking gay? Is it, I don't know. And you just, you know, and then you watch a cartoon, and then you go to school, and then all the second you get on the bus, it's just like everyone just starts, dude, what's with your shirt? And then it starts, and then you're like, oh, my God, this is going to be the longest fucking day of my life. And everybody just, I mean, you lose, like, half your friends that day. And you contemplate pissing your pants so you can just fucking get out of school or claiming you have chicken pox or anything just to get the fuck out of it. That was the adult version of that. And I remember I walked out of the place where they had the gig and I went into a bar. I was trying to reclaim my manhood, but I still had that fucking sweatshirt on. I think I took it off and I turned it inside out, and I just drank at this bar for the rest of their show, and then I walked back hammered, and I think I turned it back in. You know, I hate that part of my life. I really do. I don't even want to bring it up, and I resent that question. What a fucking douche. Like, now I just, I don't know. It's all part of the learning process, people. This is a really fucking becoming a dark podcast. I'm just admitting to horrible things that have happened to me. All right. Index anal rape and an awful fucking sweatshirt. All right, question number six. Bill, hey, what's the worst slash most embarrassing thing? Oh, I've already read that one. I'm so fucked up right now emotionally. I just reread that question. Wait a second. Oh, I have it down twice, so that wasn't me. All right, let's move on to underrated, overrated. This is really, I like the awkward pauses at this point as I'm trying to fucking mentally deal with what the fuck happened to me last week. I really didn't emotionally even deal with that. Oh, whatever, it's not a big deal. It's a medical procedure. You did the smart thing. I know I did the smart thing, but did I have to go through that process? All right, Bill, my friend and I have a couple of ideas for you. All right, overrated, Crown Royal. Crown Royal is overrated? Okay. I can't agree with you on that one. I think it's fun. I think it's tremendous. Underrated, Woodford Reserve, Basil Hayden, Four Roses Single Barrel. These are obviously whiskeys. We're from Kentucky and a little biased. Oh, well, fuck it. All right, now I have to try those. You know, there's a bar in downtown L.A. called the Seven Grand. It's a whiskey bar, and they have all kinds of, I'm going to try that Four Roses Single Barrel. It actually sounds good. Overrated, all the damn spitting in pornos. What the fuck? Spitting in a-holes, spitting in vajayjays, spitting on the peni. When did hawking a loogie become sexy? Yeah, that is pretty disgusting. I've actually sworn myself off of porno. I was a big fan of this one website, which I'm not going to name, just because I feel like a crack dealer, because it's a free porno site, and I don't want to put the name of it out there and get somebody else hooked. And I just decided I wasn't going to go on there anymore, because I was finding shit that used to turn me on. I found it to be boring, you know, and then you start progressively moving towards sicker and sicker, crazier shit. I'm just like, I can't fucking do that. So I know I've mentioned a number of times that I've been trying to fucking stop doing that, you know? Yeah. It's, you know, something I really think that shit's, it's just not good. It's just not good for you. You ever think about how fucked up that is? That you can just, you know, think of something that you want to see and you can go on the internet and you can just find it. And how back in the day when you were, you know, Little House on the Prairie, I mean, all you just had was your imagination. I'm not saying people didn't lay in the fields. Lay down in the barley and take down their trousers and, I mean, but what could you possibly, could people even comprehend, you know, some of the shit that people have come up with at this point? I don't think you could. There's no way that you could think of some of the shit that they have on there if, like, musically, you're just that Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Actually, that's not true. They had Beethoven. They had classical music. But still, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I just looked at a picture of myself like from 4 or 5 years ago, and I was just like, you know, I was a lot better person back then. So, you know, this has actually been a very, very sad, melancholy fucking podcast. And, yeah, that's it. I'm going to end on that note. Because I have to emotionally deal with the fact that, yeah, I got to deal with that shit. Whatever, it was a medical procedure. It doesn't count, right? What the fuck? Anyways, So I'm going to be at the Improv in Houston this week, and I'm going to be extra funny because I'm going to be burying that procedure deep in my psyche. And I probably won't be talking about it on stage just because every comedian over 40 who's had that procedure then goes on stage and talks about it. So I'm standing there, and I got the fucking thing on, and my ass is hanging out. And what's the deal? You know, who goes to school to become that guy? If any, there's your homework for the week. If anybody can come up with a new stand-up comedy angle on, I had to get my prostate checked. I'll give you a free DVD. I will literally fucking mail it to your fucking house, and I'm not joking. All right? If you can somehow come up with a new angle that's actually, no, you know, I'm not going to put any parameters on it. You can go clean, you can go dirty, you can go clever. You can even be a guitar act. If you want to write a song about it, I don't give a fuck. If you can somehow come up with something, you only got a couple of days, too. This offer expires Thursday afternoon, because by then I'm going to be on my way over to the club in Houston, Texas. Oh, speaking of which, you know what? I fucking... You know, one of the things I like going about to Houston is they got a mall out there that actually has a skating rink in the mall, and it's the funniest thing ever. You can actually go ice skating right near the food court as you're watching fat fucks eating orange chicken, and you're burning calories. And I actually went skating out here recently. I just hate going to the gym, people. That's basically it. So I'm like, I can burn calories doing that. So I go out to Burbank. It's like 80 fucking degrees out, and I go out to a skating rink out there. It's the worst fucking ice I've ever skated on in my life. It's like the cracks in the ice. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like Marcel Dion skated on this fucking ice back when the Kings wore the colors of royalty. And I get over there, and there's literally like 15 other people out there. And I have a question for people who are Asian, not Indian, people who are like, you know, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, or whatever. Like, I'm really interested in your culture that, you know, it seems to me that, like, I don't know, I just never see you guys get angry. You know, I'm sitting there, there was like five Asian dudes, and they sucked at skating, and they just kept falling down, like, really hard. Like, they'd be getting going fast, and they would fucking really hit the ice hard. And every time, they would get up smiling with, like, this self-deprecating, like, oh, that was stupid, look on their face. And, you know, and everybody else in their group would just sort of laugh. And I just was fascinated. I mean, like, I never saw maybe, like, an American version of an Asian person. You'll see one of them go like, fuck, if they like stub their toe. But these like dudes are like whacking their heads and shit, and they just kept smiling. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was laughing my ass off, but then after a while it just became bizarre, and then I felt bad about myself. Like, what's wrong with me as a human being that I can't laugh off the little things in life? But, you know, to me, once you fall for the 15th time, that's not a little thing anymore. That's like a major goddamn problem. And you should, you know, reminds me of that Stephen King book where there was the mute guy and those... Ah, God damn it, I didn't close my fucking refrigerator. I hate when I do that. This refrigerator is such a piece of fucking shit. Your refrigerator, you're supposed to have to hold the door open. And if you don't hold the door open, it's supposed to do this. Listen. It's supposed to close, but not mine. Mine just stays open. At this shit. I'm adding to global warming right there. How the hell the fucking energy I just wasted? Anyways, what the hell? I was talking about Asian people falling on the ice and not caring. I don't know. This has been a really weird podcast, and I don't even know how I feel about it. But anyways, that's it. I'm done. I have to go work out. All right? You guys were very patient with this one. Please keep the questions and everything like that coming in. Please, let me get the momentum going here. Please come out and see me at the Improv in Houston. Please come out to that show. Please. I'm begging people. Because every time I go there, you know, nobody shows up. And I know I said that about Tampa and people showed up. I don't know if because I have a new special out, things are finally going to change. But please, for the love of God, show up, bring 15 fucking people, you know. Just, you know, I wrote a new hour. I'm begging you, okay? Just for the love of God. I had a really rough week. I've been violated, okay? I've seen confusing things. I've seen a group of people fall on the ice and not get mad about it. And I left my refrigerator door open, okay? And that's it. All right. Is that it? Come see me in Boston and in Utah. And that's it, right? Happy Martin Luther King Day, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week.